And welcome back in hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Glad to have you with us. Got some fishing reports coming your way. Plus, a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Chris LeCocq. He is our videographer editor for Bayou Wild Television, kicking off season number 13. He'll give you a little bit of a sneak preview as to what's coming up. Chris and I had the pleasure of fishing with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters out of Gulfport, Mississippi, this Labor Day weekend. Got a little bit of a late start on the first day because we had some weather we had to wait out, but got out there and marked some fish and saw some fish, but all day long came up with a big zero, and that's how tarpon fishing can be. Went back the next day, and by 7:30 the next morning, our 20-year-old youngster that has been afflicted with diagnosed with a Hodgkin's lymphoma, Justin Logar from New Jersey, brought to the boat a 155-pound tarpon, which was released to fight another day. And we captured the video, and it'll be one of our upcoming episodes of Bayou Wild TV. And Chris will tell us a whole lot more of what you'll see on Bayou Wild Television. You can see it anyway. We've got a YouTube channel in addition to many broadcast channels, and we'll kind of run down those for you. All right, looking at our text board, Old Man Sam's checking in. He's working on drainage in Hammond, but he's got a lazy afternoon, asking the question, are you ready for some football? Yeah, I think everybody is, but I hope we get better football at LSU than what we saw last. There were some bright spots last week, but also some disappointing things, particularly in the area of player behavior. Anyway, he says he's also seen more out of this wildlife and fishery secretary than any of the others. I'll remember this one's name. Yeah, it's Madison Shahan. If you look back, I got to say Secretary Robert Barham was a good one. He got us through oil spills and serious hurricane damage. He had a tough time when he was Wildlife and Fishery Commissioner and did what I thought was an excellent job. You might recall he used to come on the show with us and keep us up to date on what was going on with the department on a regular basis. Now, his predecessor, Charles Melanson, left basically in disgrace. And the one that followed him, Montesset, I think he's trying to stay out of jail right now. So Secretary Madison Shahan, she's not in any trouble. And I've seen some efforts to accomplish and be very responsive to what the public needs are. So we'll see. Jury's still out on her. She's got a lot of critics, but she's also got a lot of support. All right, want to remind you, next couple of weeks, we're going to take the show on the road. Next week, I'll be at the St. Hubert Cathedral Annex in Alabama. We'll be broadcasting there before a dove hunt that I'll be making up there on the Little Creek National Forest. And then the following Saturday, we'll be doing a broadcast from Franklin, Texas, heading over to Texas, continuing our dove hunt and visit some friends over there. And we'll be broadcasting the show. We take it wherever we go. All right, coming back after this, we're going to hear from Captain Mike Gallo, get a report from him. Brendan Bayard's got your paddler report. The Plastic Man, Ryan Lambert, fishing downriver near the tip of the boot, and also what he's seeing as far as the teal. That opens up next weekend in Louisiana. And we'll chat with Chris LeCocq. He is the videographer, producer, editor for Bayou Wild Television. We'll run down what's coming up on Season 13 of Bayou Wild Television. All right, now don't forget, Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Boy, this one kind of makes you sick to even think about it. We'll tell you that story. It might qualify for the baddest bad boy of the year. You know, we do that on the last show of the year. You, the audience, select from some of a select few contestants which one you think was the baddest of the bad. And he might just capture that award. All right, coming back after this, it's Mike Gallo with a fishing report for you. It's what we do every Saturday morning right here on the Outdoors with Don DeBute Radio Network. And that tells us it's time to chat with Captain Mike Gallo, get a fishing report, a bone on the bayou report, and it's presented by Seatow. For $249 a year, your membership gets you unlimited fuel drops 24-7. You got it. 24-7, 365 days a year. Tow-ins, jump starts for electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back safely. It's like having AAA on the water. It's peace of mind for you and your loved one. Makes a great gift, too, and you can sign yourself or someone else up by calling Captain Chris, 504-301-4545. Or it's even easier if you go to the web, seatow.com. Captain Mike joins us now, and Mike, it looks like your area is clearing, at least from the rain, but you're probably going to have some residual wind and dirty water. What's the plan today?
Oh, Don, the plan today is to do honeydews and catch up on a little college football.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good plan. For people that are going to brave it and go out maybe later this afternoon or tomorrow, picking up the pieces of what happened this week, what are your suggestions to find a few fish?
Well, Don, I did get a chance to slip out Tuesday, had a little short trip, do a little scouting. Unfortunately, when we got to the L&N Bridge, the tide was dead still. We still gave it a try. We were marking some fish on the radar, sonar. And we caught one keeper, 13-inch speckled trout. We caught a couple of croakers and a couple of catfish. But we really didn't like that water not moving. And when it's not moving in the Wrigley's, it's probably not moving in other places. Where we thought it would be moving would be the Pearl River. Is that, you know, the river water should be flowing out. So we moved over to the Pearl River. Found some really beautiful green water, lots of bait, and we worked along the shoreline with a popping cork and a Berkeley gulp under the popping cork. We caught a couple of small trout, caught one nice keeper trout. We also picked up a flounder. And the tide, the river water started really gaining momentum, so we figured the water in the Wrigley's had started moving, and we moved back to the Wrigley's. We fished it unsuccessfully. Then we moved over to the Chef, the mouth of the Chef, not far from the Lake Pontchartrain, right there at the mouth, that area, and moved around several times fishing some of those deeper ledges, and we come across a fair amount of white trout. Ended the day, I guess, with about 15 fish before we had a lunch date, meeting, catch up with a buddy, talk some business. So it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, although the only water I expect to be clean if you were going today would be along the North Shore or in the Pearl River. I do expect once the wind turns and gets out of that northerly direction that the water is going to be falling and probably have quite a bit of movement to it. The marinas have live bait. They probably have plenty of live bait because not many people been fishing. But my suggestion would be go to the Pearl and work that over. There's fish in there. It's just a matter of picking through them and find an area that's holding some and really work that area over. And then if that fails for you or starts to fade away as far as numbers of fish, then you want to find another area with similar features. And that would be my advice for today.
Now, Mike, I got a question in from Doug. He wanted me to ask if you're catching any bass, and I guess while you were there in the Pearl, you certainly could have came across some. Have you been coming across any bass in your areas?
I tell you, Don, we did not catch a single bass, and we actually thought the water was really salty because we did catch quite a few ladyfish. And those are usually like saltier water. And we were catching those on the bottom, and that makes sense because the saltier water is generally on the bottom. But we didn't catch any bass.
Yeah, of course, that's probably going to change. There's been a good bit of rain, and with that moving down the Pearl and that northerly direction and that wind, it's probably going to make things change and push that salt line a little bit further down. But the bass fishing, I think, would be restricted to the upper reaches until that happens. Mike, I've been putting you out on scouting duty for the teal. Happen to see any? Sometimes they're right across the street from your lodge there.
We did see some teal when we were fishing in the Pearl River on Tuesday. One little flock went by. I would estimate 15 or 20 birds went by. Which direction? I got to think now. I think they were headed towards Campos Marina, so they were going south.
South. Well, that's the way they should go. They should fly south. I actually saw some. I was fishing out of Gulfport over there in the edge of the Gulf, and saw some teal flying there. They didn't look like they knew where they were going. They were kind of doing some circling around, looking for a good landing spot. So hopefully folks headed out for opening day next week will find a few teal. Well, Mike, that's some good suggestions for people that are going to try to get out this weekend. When is your next trip scheduled?
I believe I have one midweek and then on the weekend itself. So things are starting to pick up. you know, we've had all this rain, and it certainly dampens our spirits, but one of the benefits it's going to do is cool our water temperatures down, and that's going to get our fish a little more aggressive. So looking forward to that.
Yep, in another few weeks, maybe a month away, we'll be looking for those World Series trout maybe showing up at the bridges, and that could be some good news.
Yeah, I'm expecting a really good fall. That one good trout that we caught in the Pearl River was 17 inches, so that would be nice if they start moving in earlier. We won't mind if they show up early.
Got it. Mike, if they want to get you, you're on my website. Give them your website and that telephone number.
Very simple. My website is aaofla.com. You can find us on Facebook at Angling Adventures of Louisiana or the reliable telephone 985-781-7811.
Mike, what would you say is the breakdown on people contacting you, percentage-wise, website versus telephone?
Oh, I got a text message yesterday from somebody I've never fished with. Just out of the blue, sent me a text message, introduced himself, told me what he wanted to do, anniversary trip for him and his wife, and picked the phone up and called him, and he's going to be coming in 2 weeks. So probably, I would say 70-30 still with the, you know, email being the best way to contact me, or maybe the way most people contact me.
Yeah, digital or, you know, internet, email, going on your website. I would think it would probably be about that. That would be my guess. Well, maybe you need to track it, Mike, and let us know.
I'll look into it.
All right, my friend. See you next time.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Captain Mike Gallo, we call him Born on the Bayou. Coming up next, if you like to paddle for your fish, we got a guy that always got some good advice. He keeps tabs on all the competition and the latest trends, and it's brought to you by Massey's. It's called our Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Brendan Bayard's his name. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And for all you strokers out there, we have a special Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, and it's presented by Massey's. Three locations, Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and on the North Shore in Covington. All the good brands like the Hobies, Jackson Kayak, Native Craft. And they just got in a full shipment of Thule gear boxes. That's the luggage boxes you see on the top of roof racks. A lot of people use them for bugging out during vacation and evacuation times. They really, it's surprising the amount of gear you can get in them. And you can see them right now at Massey's three locations. Joining us is Brendan Bayard. And, Brendan, I love the dilemma you have this morning. A rainy weekend with an LSU home game. It's going to be tough to get out on the water. That is some stiff competition. But if somebody does want to go, what can you tell them?
Yeah, Don, if I was going to go fishing today, I would go down towards Grand Isle and fish some of those islands that are kind of away from Bayou Lafourche, that are away from Leeville. Those areas are probably the dirtiest of the areas. I would head down towards, fishing some of those islands. Those passes clean out the water a little bit quicker than some of the areas that are up a little bit into the estuary. That's where I would make my stand today, and I think there's still plenty of fish around the coastline to take advantage of right now.
Yeah, it sounds good. Understand they had some small 20-pound tarpon along around Fouchon, and some people caught them. What is it like to catch a tarpon from a kayak?
Yeah, this is a guy that caught him in his boat, so not in a kayak, but nevertheless, if you're out there, you know, you might get lucky and see those. It's a rare treat for us in Louisiana to stumble upon them, but he just noticed them greyhounding through the areas over there between the pass and the little rock jetties on Fouchon over there, and, you know, got lucky and hooked up to one. Didn't make it to the boat, but it was still a really fun experience to have in the out on the beach in Louisiana of all places. So you never know what you're going to find when you're out there fishing, and just keep your eyes on the horizon. Sometimes you'll see those little tarpon greyhounding, and you can notice that little thread fin that sticks out on their back whenever they're moving, and that'll be the telltale sign of a tarpon, that little black thread fin that's on their hump. when they...
I saw a lot of that this past Labor Day weekend. We were fishing. Jeremy McHugh, a Louisiana guy, has found and discovered an abundance of tarpon off that Mississippi Gulf Coast out of Gulfport, and he's making a living doing it. There's a lot of big fish there, and I got to tell you, that's one of the most exciting fish you'll ever catch. When it fish comes up out of the water and jumps over your head, that and you got a line connected to him. But they are difficult fish to get to the boat. If you don't hook them in that nose or in the side of that mouth, you can forget a deep hook set, because that mouth is, that throat is like a 5-gallon bucket. It's hard to get a hook in it.
Yeah, it's got a couple of spots in its mouth that are the size of a quarter, and you got to get lucky and stick it in one of those, or else, yeah, it's coming out.
Yeah, great fish, and boy, that's some good news if they're there. All right, also, you're talking about crabs still on the beach and bulls in the pass, huh?
Yeah, that's one of the great things to do this time of year is go enjoy the crabbing situations down there on the coast. And then if you like sleigh rides, get out in that pass. And, you know, from now until we really have the cold fronts starting at the end of November, end of October, we should have some pretty serious bull action in the passes. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do, bringing people who have never caught a bull in a kayak and get them to catch one of those, you know, 20, 30-pound fish and have them pull them around for a day or for, you know, 5 minutes or so and make a day out of it and catch 10 until you're just absolutely tired and whooped from catching them. Yep. It's a fun time.
Well, next time we talk, you're going to be in Alabama. I guess that's the MBKFA, Mobile Bay Kayak Fishing Association. The Five Rivers Slam is going to be coming up on the 21st. It's in that Hobie Saltwater Series, and the next one will be the Fallen Tide. That's back in Louisiana on October 12th out of Empire. Brendan, fishing saltwater species in Mobile Bay as opposed to Louisiana coast, same thing? Any differences, any tendency, different bait you use? What adjustments do you make?
It's a little bit different, but not much. You know, you have a lot less marsh for the fish to penetrate in, so you're kind of, you know, a few spots that get heavily hit compared to where Louisiana, where people can spread out. So you tend to be fishing on top of a lot of other people when you go down to those places. You know, there's you know, you can spread out throughout the whole state of Alabama's coastline, so you'll get a lot of people that will fish the Heron Bay marsh section above Dolphin Island. You'll get a lot of people that will fish down on the backside of the Fort Morgan Peninsula, and then you'll get guys that tuck up into areas like Weeks Bay and some of those bay pockets that are along Mobile's shoreline or Mobile Bay shoreline. And then, of course, you can get lucky and fish some of those pass edges to get some trout, like underneath the bridge at Dolphin Island where those humps are. So there's some good fish out there and some really, really big trout. So that's kind of what makes it fun to go that way. You know, we have a little bit better red fishing. Flounder is a little bit better over there, and the trout certainly can be you can catch some trophy size over there.
Yeah, well, we'll be getting your report on it, and then we'll be talking about the Fallen Tide. That's October 12th. Brendan, thanks so much for the report. Hope you enjoy your either quick fishing trip and then the LSU football.
Yeah, I'll be at the stadium tonight. Can't wait.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for the report.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Brendan Bayard, one of our reporters. Next week we'll hear from Eric Mohabarak, and he'll be checking in with us from the Louisiana Kayak Company. All right, we got a very distasteful, repulsive bad boy of the outdoor to tell you about coming up next right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, I was talking about completing a bucket list, a fish of a lifetime for a young man that came down from New Jersey. Fished with us and caught his fish of a lifetime, 155-pound. That's what we estimated it to be. Tarpon fishing with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters out of Biloxi and Gulfport area. And asking you, what is your bucket list trip? And Big E from Thibodeau says his bucket list would be to go fly fishing in the great state of Montana. And that, yeah, I got to agree, that's probably a pretty good trip. In fact, just being in Montana with some of the scenery I've seen there. Never been there, but maybe I'll make it there with you one day, Big E. And let's see, we've got this one. Do you agree or disagree with LSU bringing back Mike the Tiger to pregame festivities? You know, not that I really care that much, but, I mean, if a tiger can't make it being rolled out in a cage around a stadium and put back in his pen, he's not much of a tiger, is he? And from what I understand, that roar is a pretty good intimidating factor. So I'd say I'd be for it unless there was some serious reason why it would be detrimental to the tiger to bring him out there. All right, we got this one, the old snake doctor checking in. He and his wife had an anniversary picnic at the fly behind the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans on Tuesday. Saw lots of tree ducks, and as the sun went down and a good number of blue-winged teals started flying. That spot has, for years, I mean, I'm talking maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I happened to be there, and I saw a lot of those whistling ducks. They love that spot for some reason there. All right, when we come back from this station identification pause, a very repulsive Bad Boy of the Outdoor story. We're calling this the Case of the Fawn Strangler. Back with it right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, over the last 35 years, I've produced hundreds and hundreds of Bad Boy of the Outdoors features. Some express the ignorance, the carefree attitudes, the pure stupidity of the perpetrators, but every once in a while, a case develops that demonstrates the insanity and maybe even evil of a few of them. This one today is one of those times. You see, back on August 21st, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Corporal Dustin Nash, Senior Agent Michael Thacker, and Agent Ernest Thompson arrested Taryn Varnell for aggravated cruelty to animals and taking a spotted fawn and booked him into the Caldwell Parish Correctional Center. About 6 weeks earlier, the agents came across a video showing him choking a spotted fawn to death. They were able to identify Varnell as the person in that video, and after questioning, he admitted he was, in fact, the person in the video choking the fawn to death. Yes, you heard right. He admitted to choking a baby deer to death and recorded it on video. For what purpose? Well, if he's convicted and he's admitted to it, facing maximum criminal fines and civil restitution of up to $27,374 and up to 10 years in prison, is a twisted in desperate need of mental help as well as possible evil in need of an exorcism, is 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell of Grayson, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, he has earned a nomination for the baddest of the bad. Now, you know, there could be a chance that there's some mitigating circumstances here. I have heard, and this is unconfirmed, that the deer was injured by a vehicle, and in order to put it out of its misery, he chose to choke it to death and record it on video. Now, that may or may not be true. That could be a mitigating circumstance in light of the judge, but there are other ways to euthanize an animal than choking it and putting it on video. And yes, a lot of these bad boys are caught, you know, bragging, putting stuff, other people catching it, putting it on video. And, you know, sometimes the agent, all he's got to do is sit in the office, turn the computer on, and make cases. And this may have been one of those. So we'll find out as this progresses. 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell in Grayson. One of the baddest of the bad, certainly. All right, we come back after this. Ryan Lambert joins us, Cajun Fishing Adventures. We'll chat with him about fishing and teal hunting right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, joins us. And Ryan, my producer, Cullen, is wondering, are you in a truck, a boat, or a plane?
I'm in a truck right now. I had to put a dove deal.
Oh, man, let me tell you, that picture you sent me from Nolehase, man, that's just what I needed to see on opening day of dove season. Man, they whacked them. Now, when you get a pile of doves like that, it's my understanding that they're donated to the locals. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, we clean them all and put them in the vacuum pipe, stack them in the freezer. We eat a lot of them, but a lot of locals get them too. So that goes to waste here.
All right, so what are you expecting to catch this morning?
I'm going to get my 100. I stopped at 100. So, it's just been incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible, the birds that they got right now. I mean, just droves and droves and droves of lightning. Just beautiful, just a lot. I got some videos of them as well, just flying. It's the weather's been nice. It rained really, really hard the first day we got here. It's for a desert, it's got a lot of water. Yesterday at home, it rained good too, but it had 12 boats out. Everybody got out. I was very lucky to get your ball.
Well, back home, we got a little bit of a frontal system coming through. What do you think that's going to do to help doves and teal migrate in? Or will it push them out?
No, it's going to push the teal down so hard. I'm glad it's out the west, too. It'll be a northwester, so it kind of makes that migration come a little bit towards us instead of, you know, Lake Dawes in Texas. You know, it'll push them if they get in that west wind. They're just like anything else, playing with some boat. They've got to get the wind. It's going to push it a little bit. So that might push them further to the east, and it's going to really get picked this week. And plenty of groceries for them. Boys out there getting everything ready. The boat's ready. As soon as I get home, I got an alligator hunt 2 days and go pick up my boat and my trailers and all that. So I go to the blind. They say peace.
Well, that river being low like it is with the saltwater intrusion, is that affecting any of the feed in your area? I know way down in Venice, I mean, getting some complaints from people saying that salt is killing a lot of the vegetation there.
Oh, it'll kill it. It only takes 7 parts per thousand salinity. You know, even if it kills the aquatic vegetation, you know, hydrilla, milfoil, stuff like that, it'll kill it in 3 days if it gets a big old storm surge and pushes it up. But the duck potato is the key to a lot of that in the wintertime, because even if it kills the top and burns the top, the roots are still there. That's where those tubers are that they love to eat. So we're going to have food no matter what. There's a ton of duck potatoes. And thickweed, too. You know, even the duck peas are still there, so all the food is still there. So if it gets up off the land and kills all that, you know, the seed pods are still there. So, you know, we're going to have a great teal season, and hopefully we'll have enough food going into the big season to have a great season. I'm pretty hopeful, because I saw on the radar the other day the ducks were blacking out the radar coming down.
Wow. Well, I got my duck stamp. It's that pretty pintail, one of your favorite birds. And by the way, do you need to get a duck stamp to hunt in Mexico?
No, you don't. That's a federal Louisiana, you know, a federal United States thing. But you don't need one here, but, you know, you need a license. We buy licenses for dove. We have different licenses for different everything. It's not a yearly license for Mount Everest. You buy it as you come in for the trip you're coming in for. So I got 18 guys with me. We got a big group, so we're having a ball. But I'm going to hunt this morning and this evening and get back on the plane and go back to work. Which is hunting fishing, so it's not that bad a deal.
Yeah, I know what you mean. How's the weather there anyway? Is it extremely hot? Looked like it was a little overcast in the video you sent.
Right now, it's 76 degrees right now. It's pretty dang nice. It rained so hard the first day we got here, and there's a nice breeze, and the humidity's low. I mean, it's really nice. And you're sitting on the porch in between the unjust there. Everybody's like, man, this is heaven. So, yeah, it's kind of overcast this morning, too. So it's really nice. It's when you got that many doves going at you, you don't feed and feel the heat.
How long does the dove hunting last over there in Mexico?
Well, you know, normally it'll go into October, and then they'll migrate down to Nicaragua as soon as the breeze gets big enough for them to fly away, or a cold front pushing them, or a hurricane might push them. They'll end up down in Nicaragua. But, you know, we'll get into October, you know, sometime in October before they push. And November 1st, we start with ducks, geese, dove, and quail, you know, morning doves. But quail everywhere we go. Both hunts up and down, there's been quail everywhere. We have a great quail season down.
Yeah,
if you ever give an invitation to come to Moldy, I say, don't pass it up.
Absolutely not. Well, if somebody wants to find out more about it, tell them how to get you.
I think you just go to CajunFishingAdventure.com, check out our place, or if they want information about anything else, call me on my cell at 504-559-5111, and we'll make it happen. I tell you, it'll be a busy fall. We're really booked up. Yeah, I still got some spots for teal, so if somebody wants to teal, let me get on quick.
Very good. Have a good time down there, Ryan. Pile them up, and we'll check in with you when you get back next week. I guess you'll be in the duck blind when we talk to you next Saturday morning.
Huh? Definitely will be. It'll be great.
All right, we'll see you then.
Talk to you then, buddy.
Captain Brian Lambert. We call him the Plastic Man, or Man of Steel, during hunting season, because that's what he uses. All right, coming back after this, Chris LeCocq is going to join us from Bayou Wild TV. Got a big season 13 coming up. We'll tell you what episodes you'll see right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some text messages. The Weaves say today's a good day for cleaning out the old tackle box. Justin, the duck guy, getting ready for his concealed carry class and then headed to the hunting camp. River Rat says the Blood River's up in his yard, but he got the show on, so life ain't so bad. And Ben from Mississippi wants me to do a three-hour show. These 2 hours go by too fast. Well, it's not because of lack of material, Ben, but, you know, other stations that carry the show have other programming. And Frankie D, the king of the tick farm, says, on a day like this, his dad would say, with this falling water and wind, let's go pull the trawl. Frankie, we got to go get those sockeye. Give me some dates when we can maybe make a trip out there with you. All right, I also got a guy at the gas station in Metairie said he saw three guys loading the ice chests and gassing up the boat. Optimists or masochists? Well, if you look at that forecast, the radar, the weather's moving out. Extreme southeast Louisiana is still getting it, but in the next few hours, it's going to be out of here. Yeah, fishing directly behind a system is not the greatest, but certainly is doable. All right, let's talk to Chris LeCocq, the editor, videographer for Bayou Wild TV. Good morning, Chris. Boy, season 13, it's already here, and we got some exciting episodes coming up. Tell us briefly, you know, I was talking about completing a bucket list, a fish of a lifetime for a young man that came down from New Jersey, fished with us and caught his fish of a lifetime, 155-pound. That's what we estimated it to be. Tarpon fishing with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters out of Biloxi and Gulfport area. And asking you, what is your bucket list trip? And Big E from Thibodeau says his bucket list would be to go fly fishing in the great state of Montana. And that, yeah, I got to agree, that's probably a pretty good trip. In fact, just being in Montana with some of the scenery I've seen there. Never been there, but maybe I'll make it there with you one day, Big E. And let's see, we've got this one. Do you agree or disagree with LSU bringing back Mike the Tiger to pregame festivities? You know, not that I really care that much, but, I mean, if a tiger can't make it being rolled out in a cage around a stadium and put back in his pen, he's not much of a tiger, is he? And from what I understand, that roar is a pretty good intimidating factor. So I'd say I'd be for it unless there was some serious reason why it would be detrimental to the tiger to bring him out there. All right, we got this one, the old snake doctor checking in. He and his wife had an anniversary picnic at the fly behind the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans on Tuesday. Saw lots of tree ducks, and as the sun went down and a good number of blue-winged teals started flying. That spot has, for years, I mean, I'm talking maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I happened to be there, and I saw a lot of those whistling ducks. They love that spot for some reason there. All right, when we come back from the station identification pause, a very repulsive Bad Boy of the Outdoor story. We're calling this the case of the Fawn Strangler. Back with it right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, over the last 35 years, I've produced hundreds and hundreds of Bad Boy of the Outdoors features. Some express the ignorance, the carefree attitudes, the pure stupidity of the perpetrators, but every once in a while a case develops that demonstrates the insanity and maybe even evil of a few of them. This one today is one of those times. You see, back on August 21st, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Corporal Dustin Nash, Senior Agent Michael Thacker, and Agent Ernest Thompson arrested Taryn Varnell for aggravated cruelty to animals and taking a spotted fawn and booked him into the Caldwell Parish Correctional Center. About 6 weeks earlier, the agents came across a video showing him choking a spotted fawn to death. They were able to identify Varnell as the person in that video, and after questioning, he admitted he was, in fact, the person in the video choking the fawn to death. Yes, you heard right. He admitted to choking a baby deer to death and recorded it on video. For what purpose? Well, if he's convicted and he's admitted to it, facing maximum criminal fines and civil restitution of up to $27,374 and up to 10 years in prison, is a twisted in desperate need of mental help as well as possible evil in need of an exorcism, is 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell of Grayson, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, he has earned a nomination for the baddest of the bad. Now, you know, there could be a chance that there's some mitigating circumstances here. I have heard, and this is unconfirmed, that the deer was injured by a vehicle, and in order to put it out of its misery, he chose to choke it to death and record it on video. Now, that may or may not be true. That could be a mitigating circumstance in light of the judge, but there are other ways to euthanize an animal than choking it and putting it on video. And yes, a lot of these bad boys are caught, you know, bragging, putting stuff, other people catching it, putting it on video. And, you know, sometimes the agent, all he's got to do is sit in the office, turn the computer on, and make cases. And this may have been one of those. So we'll find out as this progresses. 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell in Grayson. One of the baddest of the bad, certainly. All right, we come back after this. Ryan Lambert joins us. Cajun Fishing Adventures. We'll chat with him about fishing and teal hunting right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, joins us. And Ryan, my producer, Cullen, is wondering, are you in a truck, a boat, or a plane?
I'm in a truck. I'm in a truck right now. I had to put a dump deal.
Oh, man, let me tell you, that picture you sent me from Nolehase, man, that's just what I needed to see on opening day of dove season. Man, they whacked them. Now, when you get a pile of doves like that, it's my understanding that they're donated to the locals. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, we clean them all and put them back in the freezer. We eat a lot of them, but a lot of locals get them, too. So that goes to waste here.
All right, so what are you expecting to catch this morning?
I may get my 100. I stop at 100. It's just been incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible, the birds that they got right now. I mean, just droves and droves and droves of white wings. It's beautiful, just a lot. I got some videos of them as well, just flying. It's the weather's been nice. It rained really, really hard the first day we got here. And for a desert, it's got a lot of water. Yesterday at home, it rained good too, but it had 12 boats out. Everybody got out. I was very lucky to get that trip off.
Well, back home, we got a little bit of a frontal system coming through. What do you think that's going to do to help doves and teal migrate in? Or will it push them out?
No, it's going to push the teal down so hard. I'm glad it's out the west, too. It'll be a northwester, so it kind of makes that migration come a little bit towards us instead of, you know, Lake Dawes in Texas. You know, it'll push them if they get in that west wind. You know, just like anything else, playing or something, those may try to get the wind, it's going to push it a little bit. So that might push them further to the east, and it's going to really get picked this week. There's plenty of groceries for them. Boys out there getting everything ready. The boat's ready. As soon as I get home, I got an alligator hunt 2 days, and go pick up my boat and my trailers and all that. So I go to blind. They say peace.
Well, that river being low like it is with the saltwater intrusion, is that affecting any of the feed in your area? I know way down in Venice, I mean, getting some complaints from people saying that salt is killing a lot of the vegetation there.
Oh, it'll kill it. It only takes 7 parts per thousand salinity. You know, even if it kills the aquatic vegetation, you know, hydrilla, milfoil, and stuff like that, it'll kill it in 3 days if it gets a big old storm surge and pushes it up. But the duck potato is the key to a lot of that in the wintertime, because even if it kills the top and burns the top, the roots are still there. That's where those tubers are that they love to eat. So we're going to have food no matter what. There's a ton of duck potatoes. And pickweed, too. You know, even the duck peas are still there, so all the food is still there. So if it gets up off the land and kills all that, you know, the seed pods are still there. So, you know, we're going to have a great teal season, and hopefully we'll have enough food going into the big season to have a great season. I'm pretty hopeful, because I saw on the radar the other day the ducks were blacking out the radar coming down.
Wow. Well, I got my duck stamp. It's that pretty pintail, one of your favorite birds. And by the way, do you need to get a duck stamp to hunt in Mexico?
No, you don't. That's a federal Louisiana, you know, a federal United States thing. But you don't need one here, but, you know, you need the license. through my licenses, but we have different licenses for different everything. It's not a yearly license for non-residents. You buy it as you come in for the trip you're coming in for. So I got 18 guys with me. We got a big group, so they're having a ball. But we're going to hunt this morning and this evening and get back on the plane and go back to work. Which is hunting fishing, so it's not that bad a deal.
Yeah, I know what you mean. How's the weather there anyway? Is it extremely hot? Looked like it was a little overcast in the video you sent.
Right now, it's 76 degrees right now. It's pretty dang nice. It rained so hard the first day we got here, and there's a nice breeze, and the humidity's low. I mean, it's really nice. And you're sitting on the porch in between the unjust there. Everybody's like, man, this is heaven. So, yeah, it's kind of overcast this morning, too. So it's really nice. It's when you got that many doves going at you, you don't feed and feel the heat.
How long does the dove hunting last over there in Mexico?
Well, normally it'll go into October, and then they'll migrate down to Nicaragua as soon as the breeze gets big enough for them to fly away, or a cold front pushes them, or a hurricane might push them. They'll end up down in Nicaragua. But we'll get into October, sometime in October before they push. And November 1st, we start with ducks, geese, dove, and quail, morning doves. But quail everywhere we go, both hunts up and down there, they quail everywhere. We have a great quail season down there.
Yeah,
if you ever give an invitation to come to Moda, I say, don't pass it up.
Absolutely not. Well, if somebody wants to find out more about it, tell them how to get you.
I was thinking, just go to CajunFishingAdventure.com, check out our place, or if they want information about anything else, call me on my cell at 504-559-5111, and we'll make it happen. I tell you, it'll be a busy fall. We're gonna really book up. So I still got some spots to kill, so if somebody wants to kill, let me get on quick.
Very good. Have a good time down there, Ryan. Pile them up, and we'll check in with you when you get back next week. I guess you'll be in the duck blind when we talk to you next Saturday morning. Huh?
Definitely will be. It'll be great.
All right. We'll see you then.
Talk to you then, buddy.
Captain Ryan Lambert, we call him the Plastic Man, or Man of Steel during hunting season, because that's what he uses. All right, coming back after this, Chris LeCocq is going to join us from Bayou Wild TV. Got a big season 13 coming up. We'll tell you what episodes you'll see right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some text messages. The Weaves say today's a good day for cleaning out the old tackle box. Justin, the duck guy, getting ready for his concealed carry class and then headed to the hunting camp. A River Rat says the Blood River's up in his yard, but he got the show on, so life ain't so bad. And Ben from Mississippi wants me to do a three-hour show. These 2 hours go by too fast. Well, it's not because of lack of material, Ben, but, other stations that carry the show have other programming. And Frankie D, the King of the Tick Foss, says, on a day like this, his dad would say, with this falling water and wind, let's go pull the trawl. Frankie, we got to go get those sockeye. Give me some dates when we can maybe make a trip out there with you. All right, I also got a guy at the gas station in Metairie said he saw three guys loading the ice chest and gassing up the boat. Optimist or masochist? Well, if you look at that forecast, the radar, the weather's moving out. Extreme southeast Louisiana is still getting it, but in the next few hours, it's going to be out of here. Yeah, fishing directly behind a system is not the greatest, but certainly is doable. All right, let's talk to Chris LeCocq, the editor and videographer for Bayou Wild TV. Good morning, Chris. Boy, season 13, it's already here, and we got some exciting episodes coming up. Tell us briefly what we'll see in a description of them.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, everybody. We're, as Don mentioned, we just kicked off, actually, our 13th season of Bayou Wild. So we already aired two of the episodes. We have several more in the can. And I'd say you could break our episodes for this season up into a couple different categories. Our first category being our newest one that we're excited about, Tigers in the Wild, which I know you've talked to your listeners a lot about and many of them familiar with, but we're taking LSU athletes and bringing them on hunting fishing trips. So you can catch some episodes like that. One of them that we have coming up features two of our gymnasts from the national championship team, and we got to bring them on a fishing trip offshore. And then we also got to spend some time with Mason Taylor, tight end for LSU football. And we got to bring him on a fishing trip. And so that's going to be featured on an episode. And we also got another one coming up, and all I'm going to say, it's going to be a monstrous episode. So we'll just tease it that way. And if you follow our Bayou Wild Facebook page or Instagram page, you can kind of see more teasers from that. And so that's our Tigers in the Wild episodes that's coming up. And then we have a couple other episodes that I like to say are follow-up episodes from things we've done before. And so those might include something like a tribute to Dutch Prager, who a lot of your listeners are familiar with. So we're going to be able to do a episode that's a tribute to him as he recently passed. And he was almost 100 years old and still fishing, so that's always fun and cool to cover. And then also Mr. Dale Bordelon, who I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. We're going to do a follow-up episode with him based on one that we did several years ago. And his whole deal is he's a market hunter. He does outdoor things in Louisiana, duck hunting mostly, like they did back in the days of market hunters. He still does everything authentic, from handmade P-Rows to tools to lanterns to using an old 1900 shotgun. So we're going to do a follow-up episode with him sometime this year. That'll be an upcoming episode. And then our third category is just some more fun and exciting things that we like to do in Bayou Wild. We recently got to go on a trip, another hunt of a lifetime, with a deserving young man who caught his first tarpon. And that was always fun to go out there. We're on the Mississippi coast with Stillwater Fishing. We got to land a tarpon. We got some pretty cool video on that one. It wasn't the best of days, but we were able to pull one off. So that's the upcoming episode.
And we got some cooking features, huh?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely got cooking features. You know, we always love featuring time at White Oak Plantation with Chef John Fulce. So there's going to be a whole slew of new cooking features coming up, from turkey to duck to shrimp. You name it, we're going to cook it, right? And we're going to feature it on Bayou Wild so other people can learn how to cook it.
Yep, and the best way to find where you can watch Bayou Wild is go to our website, bayouwildtv.com. And, of course, we got all the back archive issues there on the YouTube and a list of all the channels and times where it airs. Any final words on something special coming up?
I just reiterate what you said. Go to bayouwildtv.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll say a last interesting and fun topic that your listeners are definitely used to is sustainability. A lot of the listeners know that there's been changes in regulations and rules, and we're going to be doing multiple episodes coming up where we talk about how you can catch and release safely, or what's being done to bring some fish back or help sustain population of fishing. So that's all going to be coming up on Bayou Wild.
Yeah, and we're going to do the redfish reload, which is the first ever restocking of redfish in Louisiana. We'll document that. Chris, thanks so much. Great job on the show. We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks.
Chris Lecoq, editor of Bayou Wild TV. All right, thanks to all of you who texted in. Sorry couldn't get to all of them. We'll see you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, joins us. And Ryan, my producer, Cullen, is wondering, are you in a truck, a boat, or a plane?
I'm in a truck. I'm in a truck right now. I had to put a dove deal.
Oh, man, let me tell you, that picture you sent me from Nolehase, man, that's just what I needed to see on opening day of dove season. Man, they whacked them. Now, when you get a pile of doves like that, it's my understanding that they're donated to the locals. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, we clean them all and stack them in the freezer. We eat a lot of them, but a lot of locals get them, too. So that goes to waste here.
All right, so what are you expecting to catch this morning?
I'm going to get my 100. I stopped at 100. It's just been incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible, the birds that they got right now. I mean, just droves and droves and droves of whitening. It's beautiful, just a lot. I got some videos of them as well, just flying. It's the weather's been nice. It rained really, really hard the first day we got here. It's for the desert, it's got a lot of water. Yesterday at home, it rained good too, but it's well booked out. Everybody got out. I was very lucky to get that trip off.
Well, back home, we got a little bit of a frontal system coming through. What do you think that's going to do to help doves and teal migrate in? Or will it push them out?
It's going to push the teal down so hard. I'm glad it's out the west, too. It'll be a northwester, so it kind of makes that migration come a little bit towards us instead of, you know, Lake Dawes in Texas. You know, it'll push them if they get in that west wind. You know, just like anything else, playing or something. Boat and they've got to get the wind, it's going to push you a little bit. So that might push you further to the east, and it's going to really get thick this week. Plenty of groceries for them. Boys out there getting everything ready, get the boats ready. As soon as I get home, I got an alligator hunt 2 days, and go pick up my boat and my trailers and all that. So I go to blind, they have to say,
well, that river being low like it is with the saltwater intrusion, is that affecting any of the feed in your area? I know way down in Venice, I mean, getting some complaints from people saying that salt is killing a lot of the vegetation there.
Oh, it'll kill it. It only takes 7 parts per thousand salinities. You know, even if it kills the aquatic vegetation, you know, hydrilla, milfoil, stuff like that, it'll kill it in 3 days if it gets a big old storm surge and pushes it up. But the duck potato is the key to a lot of that in the wintertime, because even if it kills the top and burns the top, the roots are still there. That's where those tubers are that they're left to eat. So we're going to have food no matter what. There's a ton of duck potatoes. And chickweed too. You know, even the duck peas are still there. So all the food is still there. So if it gets up off the land and kills all that, you know, the seed pods are still there. So, you know, we're going to have a great teal season, and hopefully we'll have enough food going into the big season to have a great season. I'm pretty hopeful, because I saw on the radar the other day the ducks were blacking out the radar coming down.
Wow. Well, I got my duck stamp. It's that pretty pintail, one of your favorite birds. And by the way, do you need to get a duck stamp to hunt in Mexico?
No, you don't. That's a federal Louisiana, you know, a federal United States thing. But you don't need one here, but, you know, you need the license. We buy licenses for doves. We have different licenses for different everything. It's not a yearly license for non-residents. You buy it as you come in for the trip you're coming in for. So I got 18 guys with me. We got a big group, so we're having a ball. But I'm going to hunt this morning and this evening and get back on the plane and go back to work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. How's the weather there anyway? Is it extremely hot? Looked like it was a little overcast in the video you sent.
Right now it's 76 degrees right now. It's pretty dang nice. It rained so hard the first day we got here, and there's a nice breeze, and the humidity's low. I mean, it's really nice. And you're sitting on the porch in between the unjust, everybody's like, this is heaven. So, yeah, it's kind of overcast this morning, too. So it's really nice. It's when you got that many doves going at you, you don't feed and feel the heat.
How long does the dove hunting last over there in Mexico?
Well, you know, normally it'll go into October, and then they'll migrate down to Nicaragua as soon as the blue get big enough on the flyway, or a cold front pushing them, or a hurricane might push them. They'll end up down in Nicaragua. But, you know, we'll get into October, you know, sometime in October before they push. And November 1st, we start with ducks, geese, dove, and quail, you know, morning doves. But quail everywhere we go, on both hunts up and down, there's been quail everywhere. We have a great quail season down.
That's a bird.
If you ever give an invitation to come to Modassi, don't pass it up.
Absolutely not. Well, if somebody wants to find out more about it, tell them how to get you.
No, they can just go to CajunFishingAdventure.com, check out our place, or if they want information about anything else, call me on my cell at 504-559-5111, and we'll make it happen. I tell you, it'll be a busy fall. We're really booked up. Yeah, I still got some spots for teal, so if somebody wants to teal, we'll get on quick.
Very good. Have a good time down there, Ryan. Pile them up, and we'll check in with you when you get back next week. I guess you'll be in the duck blind when we talk to you next Saturday morning. Huh?
definitely will be. It'll be great.
All right. We'll see you then.
Talk to you then, buddy.
Captain Brian Lambert, we call him the Plastic Man, a man of steel during hunting season because that's what he uses. All right, coming back after this, Chris LeCocq is going to join us from Bayou Wild TV. Got a big season 13 coming up. We'll tell you what episodes you'll see right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some text messages. The Weaves say today's a good day for cleaning out the old tackle box. Justin, the duck guy, getting ready for his concealed carry class and then headed to the hunting camp. A River Rat says the Blood River's up in his yard, but he got the show on, so life ain't so bad. And Ben from Mississippi wants me to do a three-hour show. These 2 hours go by too fast. Well, it's not because of lack of material, Ben, but, you know, other stations that carry the show have other programming. And Frankie D, the king of the tick falls, says, on a day like this, his dad would say, with this falling water and wind, let's go pull the trawl. Frankie, we got to go get those sockeye. Give me some dates when we can maybe make a trip out there with you. All right, also got a guy at the gas station in Metairie said he saw three guys loading the ice chests and gassing up the boat. Optimist or masochist? Well, if you look at that forecast, the radar, the weather's moving out. Extreme southeast Louisiana is still getting it, but in the next few hours, it's going to be out of here. Yeah, fishing directly behind a system is not the greatest, but certainly is doable. All right, let's talk to Chris LeCocq, the editor and videographer for Bayou Wild TV. Good morning, Chris. Boy, season 13, it's already here, and we got some exciting episodes coming up. Tell us briefly what we'll see in a description of them.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, everybody. We're, as Don mentioned, we just kicked off, actually, our 13th season of Bayou Wild. So we already aired two of the episodes. We have several more in the can. And I'd say you could break our episodes for this season up into a couple different categories. Our first category being our newest one that we're excited about, Tigers in the Wild, which I know you've talked to your listeners a lot about and many of them familiar with, but we're taking LSU athletes and bringing them on hunting fishing trips. So you can catch some episodes like that. One of them that we have coming up features two of our gymnasts from the national championship team, and we got to bring them on a fishing trip offshore. And then we also got to spend some time with Mason Taylor, tight end for LSU football. And we got to bring him on a fishing trip. And so that's going to be featured on an episode. And we also got another one coming up, and all I'm going to say, it's going to be a monstrous episode. So we'll just tease it that way. And if you follow our Bayou Wild Facebook page or Instagram page, you can kind of see more teasers from that. And so that's our Tigers in the Wild episodes that's coming up. And then we have a couple other episodes that I like to say are follow-up episodes from things we've done before. And so those might include something like a tribute to Dutch Prager, who a lot of your listeners are familiar with. So we're going to be able to do a episode that's a tribute to him as he recently passed. And he was almost 100 years old and still fishing. So that's always fun and cool to cover. And then also Mr. Dale Bordelon, who I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. We're going to do a follow-up episode with him based on one that we did several years ago. And his whole deal is he's a market hunter. He does outdoor things in Louisiana, duck hunting mostly, like they did back in the days of market hunters. He still does everything authentic from handmade pierogies to tools to lanterns to using an old 1900 shotgun. So we're going to do a follow-up episode with him sometime this year. That'll be an upcoming episode. And then our third category is just some more fun and exciting things that we like to do in Bayou Wild. We recently got to go on a trip, another hunt of a lifetime, with a deserving young man who caught his first tarpon. And that was always fun to go out there. We're on the Mississippi coast with Stillwater Fishing. We got to land a tarpon. We got some pretty cool video on that one. It wasn't the best of days, but we were able to pull one off. So that's the upcoming episode.
And we got some cooking features, huh?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely got cooking features. You know, we always love featuring time at White Oak Plantation with Chef John Fulce. So there's going to be a whole slew of new cooking features coming up, from turkey to duck to shrimp. You name it, we're going to cook it, right? And we're going to feature it on Bayou Wild so other people can learn how to cook it.
Yep, and the best way to find where you can watch Bayou Wild is go to our website, BayouWildTV.com. And, of course, we got all the back archive issues there on the YouTube and a list of all the channels and times where it airs. Any final words on something special coming up?
I just reiterate what you said. Go to BayouWildTV.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll say a last interesting and fun topic that your listeners are definitely used to is sustainability. A lot of listeners know that there's been changes in regulations and rules, and we're going to be doing multiple episodes coming up where we talk about how you can catch and release safely or what's being done to bring some fish back or help sustain population of fishing. So that's all going to be coming up on Bayou Wild.
Yeah, and we're going to do the redfish reload, which is the first ever restocking of redfish in Louisiana. We'll document that. Chris, thanks so much. Great job on the show. We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks.
Chris Lecoq, editor of Bayou Wild TV. All right, thanks to all of you who texted in. Sorry couldn't get to all of them. We'll see you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some text messages. The Weaves say today's a good day for cleaning out the old tackle box. Justin, the duck guy, getting ready for his concealed carry class and then headed to the hunting camp. A River Rat says the Blood River's up in his yard, but he got the show on, so life ain't so bad. And Ben from Mississippi wants me to do a three-hour show. These 2 hours go by too fast. Well, it's not because of lack of material, Ben, but, you know, other stations that carry the show have other programming. And Frankie D., the king of the tick farm, says, on a day like this, his dad would say, with this falling water and wind, let's go pull the trawl. Frankie, we got to go get those sockeye. Give me some dates when we can maybe make a trip out there with you. All right, I also got a guy at the gas station in Metairie said he saw three guys loading the ice chest and gassing up the boat. Optimists or masochists? Well, if you look at that forecast, the radar, the weather's moving out. Extreme southeast Louisiana is still getting it, but in the next few hours, it's going to be out of here. Yeah, fishing directly behind a system is not the greatest, but certainly is doable. All right, let's talk to Chris Lecoq, the editor and videographer for Bayou Wild TV. Good morning, Chris. Boy, season 13, it's already here, and we got some exciting episodes coming up. Tell us briefly what we'll see in a description of them.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, everybody. We're, as Don mentioned, we just kicked off, actually, our 13th season of Bayou Wild. So we already aired two of the episodes. We have several more in the can. And I'd say you could break our episodes for this season up into a couple different categories. Our first category being our newest one that we're excited about, Tigers in the Wild, which I know you've talked to your listeners a lot about and many of them familiar with, but we're taking LSU athletes and bringing them on hunting fishing trips. So you can catch some episodes like that. One of them that we have coming up features two of our gymnasts from the national championship team, and we got to bring them on a fishing trip offshore. And then we also got to spend some time with Mason Taylor, tight end for LSU football. And we got to bring him on a fishing trip. And so that's going to be featured on an episode. And we also got another one coming up, and all I'm going to say, it's going to be a monstrous episode. So we'll just tease it that way. And if you follow our Bayou Wild Facebook page or Instagram page, you can kind of see more teasers from that. And so that's our Tigers in the Wild episodes that's coming up. And then we have a couple other episodes that I like to say are follow-up episodes from things we've done before. And so those might include something like a tribute to Dutch Prager, who a lot of your listeners are familiar with. So we're going to be able to do a episode that's a tribute to him as he recently passed. And he was almost 100 years old and still fishing. So that's always fun and cool to cover. And then also Mr. Dale Bordelon, who I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. we're going to do a follow-up episode with him based on one that we did several years ago. And his whole deal is he's a market hunter. He does outdoor things in Louisiana, duck hunting mostly, like they did back in the days of market hunters. He still does everything authentic, from handmade pyros to tools to lanterns to using an old 1900 shotgun. So we're going to do a follow-up episode with him sometime this year. That'll be an upcoming episode. And then our third category is just some more fun and exciting things that we like to do in Bayou Wild. We recently got to go on a trip, another hunt of a lifetime, with a deserving young man who caught his first tarpon. And that was always fun to go out there. We're on the Mississippi coast with Stillwater Fishing. We got to land a tarpon. We got some pretty cool video on that one. It wasn't the best of days, but we were able to pull one off. So that's the upcoming episode.
And we got some cooking features, huh?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely got cooking features. You know, we always love featuring time at White Oak Plantation with Chef John Fulce. So there's going to be a whole slew of new cooking features coming up, from turkey to duck to shrimp. You name it, we're going to cook it, right? And we're going to feature it on Bayou Wild so other people can learn how to cook it.
Yep, and the best way to find where you can watch Bayou Wild is go to our website, bayouwildtv.com. And, of course, we got all the back archive issues there on the YouTube and a list of all the channels and times where it airs. Any final words on something special coming up?
I just reiterate what you said. Go to bayouwildtv.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll say a last interesting and fun topic that your listeners are definitely used to is sustainability. A lot of the listeners know that there's been changes in regulations and rules, and we're going to be doing multiple episodes coming up where we talk about how you can catch and release safely, or what's being done to bring some fish back or help sustain population of fishing. So that's all going to be coming up on Bayou Wild.
Yeah, and we're going to do the redfish reload, which is the first ever restocking of redfish in Louisiana. We'll document that. Chris, thanks so much. Great job on the show. We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks.
Chris Lecoq, editor of Bayou Wild TV. All right, thanks to all of you who texted in. Sorry couldn't get to all of them. We'll see you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.